This is the Double Play Podcast, talking nine innings of baseball. Here's Bonte Hill and Cody Paspey.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Double Play Podcast, a quickie, if you will. I'm Cody Paspey. Alongside me, as always, is Bonte Hill. If you want to follow us on Twitter, make sure to do that. At @DoublePlay_pod. You can listen to us on audioboom.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. And of course, you can find us on KNBR.com as we're here in the KNBR studios. And we're going to have a little West Coast bias here, as really the movers and shakers of the MLB offseason are here in the West. The Giants make really their biggest splash of the offseason. It's probably going to be their big, big move. And that's Johnny Cueto, as we'll get right into it here. Johnny Cueto signs a six-year deal worth $130 million. I believe it's $47 million for the first 2 years.
$46 million guaranteed. Yeah. And he has the opt-out after 2 years, which people could really – and I believe he'll pick up that player option. However, if he does have a Cy Young-type season in year number two, I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Cueto wanted to test the free agency waters again and maybe re-up on that deal.
Last season in – Cincinnati and then in Kansas City combined, he went 11-13, a 3.44 ERA. Of course, when he was in Cincinnati, he came into Kansas City with a 2.62 ERA for the season, and we all know what happened in the second half, a 4.76 ERA. But then he gets to the postseason, has two stellar starts, two not-so-stellar starts. So, Bonte, will the real Johnny Cueto please stand up?
Yeah, I believe he will stand up. You look at AT&T Park. We all know that's a pitcher's park, big ballpark. He had all these great years at Cincinnati. You look down a list from 2011, 2.31 ERA, 2012, 2.78, 2013, 2.82. Then he backs that up with 2.25 in 2014 and 2.62 in 2015 before he got traded to Kansas City. Now, you look at those numbers, that was all at Great American Ballpark. That is a launching pad. So if he was able to deal there in Cincinnati, in that division too, the NL Central is no joke. When you had the Pirates there and the Cardinals, and now the Cubs are coming up, this is a great move. You look at Johnny Cueto. He matches up with Dave Rigetti. He slots in as the number two pitcher. He's been an ace pretty much with Cincinnati for the last 4 or 5 years now. He's going to be right behind Bumgarner. It's really a shocking move because last week we were talking about Shamarja. We thought that was going to be the last splash move that the Giants made, and then news broke that, oh, my God, they're about to sign Johnny Cueto, and they signed Johnny Cueto. This is a match made in heaven, man.
And this is what the Giants do too. They don't like to get in these races for these free agents.
Right.
We always see them sort of compete against themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it backfires, like Barry Zito, for instance, Aaron Rowan.
Yep.
Sometimes here in this case, let's hope it doesn't. And I think that there's people saying throwing out the Zito contract.
Yeah.
That's a completely different monster.
Yeah.
That was what, 7 years, 126, right. 128 million. And the signs were all there. We all saw that he was declining.
Yeah.
And you could make that case for Cueto, but I think that the large sample size since 2011, the second best ERA in baseball, the only guy better is Clayton Kershaw.
Yep.
The third guy is Zach Greinke, who the Giants were willing to throw $34 million at, and he's 2 years older than Johnny Cueto.
No, you're exactly right. And what's crazy, I believe Arizona offered Johnny Cueto a contract before the free agency frenzy kicked off, and he said no. And now you see he waited it out a couple weeks after the winter meetings in Nashville and signs this big deal with the Giants.
It's $10 million more than the Diamondbacks were offering.
Exactly. And that $46 million guaranteed is just big. But we talk about how he's going to fit here with Buster Posey, with Madison Bumgarner, who he gets to follow. It is Shamarza's, right? This fits perfectly with the Giants, with what they wanted. Because last year, we know, outside of Madison Bumgarner, they were getting 5 to 6 innings from these starters. Now you have three guys the top of that rotation who could give you 7 to 8 innings. And I do worry about Johnny Cueto's elbow, but I believe the Giants are smart with Bobby Evans and Brian Sabian. They did their research. They looked into the medical records. They were really, really sure about this deal. It's a home run. It's a home run. They had to do it. Look, they're burning money. They're selling out AT&T Park every day, Cody. They're selling merchandise. Look, the dreadlock hats that's about to be sold is going to sell out.
A Johnny Baseball shirt, maybe, in orange and black.
Man, the shark
hat. I'd rock it.
Now you got a couple shark hat options with the Shamarja and Gregor Blanco.
Right.
Giants, money's not a problem. People are looking at the money. Not an issue at all.
Don't worry about it.
I think this is a great move for the Giants. They had to do it. Yeah. Jeff Samardzija just wasn't enough. Are you going to give Mike Leake $80 million?
No.
I don't think so.
No way. It gets back to what the Giants' formula of success is, and that's pitching. 2010, 2012, 2014, all three of those. 2014, maybe a little less so, but they at least still had that horse to carry them all the way. But 2010 and 2012, those teams were just built on great pitching. Yep. And suddenly the Giants go from maybe the weakest rotation of those top three contenders in the NL West to suddenly they've got the most depth. Suddenly Chris Heston is a long relief option. He's your Yusmeiro Petit for the 2016 season. And I could tell you the part of the Giants that are really happy about this move, the bullpen. They got taxed last year, especially guys like George Contos, who has never been used more in his life.
Right.
They are very happy. And that bullpen, which was very good last year, is going to look so much better. They don't even have to touch it.
Oh, yeah.
They've got so many good arms, so many good young arms on the way up that they don't have to do a damn thing about that bullpen. And they are going to be even better just with that little extra rest that they're going to get thanks to at least those top three guys are going to give them at least six innings every single time.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. Less stress on Hunter Strickland. Less stress on Santiago Casilla and Sergio Romo. And then Javier Lopez gets to get back in his role. You don't have to tinker with him pitching in the sixth and seventh inning. These guys could just chill. And that was the thing that I worried about, you know, coming off that World Series win when Madison Bumgarner basically carried the pitching staff. The bullpen was used heavily. And then last year, you know, you go into that schedule in August where they had to play the Cubs a million times, the Cardinals, the Pirates. They played all these monster teams, and that bullpen just got gassed. Now, like you said, you get Cueto and Bumgarner and Samardzija, they're going to give you 7 to 8 every time out. Barring, you know, it happens in baseball where a guy slips up and he gets rocked in 4 or 5 innings. But now that bullpen just, they breathe a sigh of relief. They're going to be fresh come August. And that's the most important thing. You want these guys fresh for the dog days and fresh for that pennant drive in September.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people saying that this is a very expensive rotation right now. And they're right.
Right.
Cueto's going to make about $21, $22 million this year. Mm-hmm. Samardzija, he's actually a discount this year.
Yeah.
I think he's making $9 million.
Right.
And, of course, Madison Bumgarner with what's looking like the best contract in all of baseball right now is only making $7 million next year.
I compared it with Steph Curry's making with the Warriors. I believe Steph Curry's like the fifth highest paid Warrior. He's still on that four-year, $44 million deal. Basically his second contract after his rookie contract, and they're getting a discount. And same thing with Bumgarner. When he signed for 5 years, $35 million, a lefty arm with velocity, I said, geez, Sabian just stole. He just robbed his agent. But Bumgarner obviously is next in line to get that big-time contract. But by the time he gets that, there will be other contracts coming off the books. They'll be fine.
There's a ton of contracts coming off the books just after the 2016 season. So they're going to have plenty of money. And, of course, the money's flowing in, like you said. It's not a problem for them. And the Bumgarner contract makes that Kane contract a little easier to take. I mean, he's making about $21 million this season. Hope you can get something out of him. I think he's a huge X factor for this team.
Huge, huge X factor. I mean, they're probably – you could put Kane at the 4 or 5, but if you have Kane as your fifth starter, yeah, he'll be the most expensive fifth starter in baseball. But if you can get anything out of Matt Kane, 6 innings a start, excuse me, and then you have Peavy there, the Bulldog, in your four hole, you're looking pretty. You're looking very, very solid in the NLS with this rotation. So we'll see what happens. The bullpen, like you said, they're set. Maybe they could get another guy. We'll see what Chris Heston, if he can handle the long relief duties. He wore out last year, so it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back after the league kind of figured him out in the second half of the season. But like you said, man, this rotation looks filthy. And look, we've seen the Giants. You touched on it in an opening monologue where they've missed out on some free agents. They've missed out on Zach Greinke. You know, they missed out on David Price. They've missed out on guys in the past. They're aggressive this season. And a lot of people didn't think they were going to be this aggressive. They were thinking, okay, even I said, you know, maybe they'll end up with Fister and Mike Leake. Maybe they'll end up with Jordan Zimmermann and Mike Leake or Fister or Samardzija and Mike Leake. They went out there and went to go get the big guns. They've been active in every big-time free agent. Even Jason Hayward, before he signed his 8-year, $184 million deal with the Cubs, they were in on that. So we look at left field, where there's a little hole there. They're saying maybe Parra, maybe a cheaper deal, Dexter Fowler. It would not shock me if the Giants are in on Alex Gordon, Yoenis Cespedes, or Justin Upton.
See, I think that's where I disagree just a little bit. I think the Giants are going to go a little more conservative if they're going to go to the free agent market. But I think on the trade market, if the Giants do want to make that splash, and as far as I can tell, I think they do want to make that big splash and get that big left fielder because now's the time. They can. They have this window, this huge window of opportunity where you've got Bumgarner, you've got Posey, you've got all these guys for the next 5 years or so.
For another two.
Exactly. You've got all these guys ready to go, and I think they have to strike on that window. And there's left field options out there. We've heard Carlos Gonzalez thrown around. So there are guys. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants go that avenue to go get that outfielder. And, of course, Rockies basically want to trade their entire outfield. Any three of those guys, Dickerson, Blackman, would be fantastic options in left field for the Giants.
Now, would it shock you if the Rockies dealt with the Giants? I don't remember the Rockies ever doing deals with the Giants, maybe lesser deals. We've seen the Padres and Giants make some lesser deals, switching minor leaguers or whatnot, or utility players. But it would shock me if the Rockies traded Carlos Gonzalez within the division. I expect them, you know, we talked about this last week. Maybe they'll go, Carlos Gonzalez will end up with the Angels. I see him somehow ending up in the American League. For some reason, man, I think the Giants are said, you know what? We've been spending the money. Why stop now? Yeah. Let's make one more major move and really set this lineup up. That's why I think they're going to get one of those big three outfielders, Justin Upton, Alex Gordon, and Yoenis Cespedes. We've heard nothing about that right now.
And it could be that their value – as we get deeper to the offseason and they stay on the market longer, is going to keep going down. It's going to keep going down. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, maybe Justin Upton for $15 million a year doesn't sound so bad.
Right.
It could happen. And but I also do, to answer your question about the Rockies, I do think that they wouldn't – I think they would be stupid to not just – whoever gives you the best offer, take it.
Right.
Because this is a team that is – if they trade Carlos Gonzalez, he's not going to hurt them in a division race.
Right.
They're not competing in this division for the next 5 years. They've got three teams, and even the Padres have a better chance of competing in this division in the next few years than the Rockies do. That, man, I don't know about that franchise. Until they can get a dome over that stadium and control it a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
It's just out of hand.
Yeah, pitchers, first of all, they're not going to attract free agents to Colorado. Nobody wants to play. You don't think of Colorado. You don't think of Denver as a baseball
unless
town.
You're Mark Reynolds, who is capable of hitting 50 bombs, signs a contract there. He could hit 60.
Yeah, or Mike Hampton when he signed for $100 million, or Danny Neagle where they just basically robbed the Rockies to pitch there at Coors Field, and it basically ruined their careers. The Rockies aren't going to be competing for a while. And it'll be, before you know it, they'll be talking about shopping Nolan Arenado and try to retool their farm system with that third baseman by trading him. I don't know what the Rockies are going to do. If they traded Carlos Gonzalez to the Giants, it really, really surprised me. I do think they're going to move him. And this market, as we've seen, we thought all the magic and all the movement was going to happen in Nashville. It's starting to come into December. We're going to see it in January. Reminds me of when we seen Prince Fielder sign with the Tigers late, right before spring trading, where he got a $214 million contract with the Detroit Tigers. So this market is not done yet. There's a lot of big names out there. Giovanni Gallardo, he's still out there. Scott Kazmir, he's still out there. It's going to be some movement. And I expect, and I know you want to talk NL West, I expect the Dodgers to get in on some of that since they've missed out. And I want to ask you about the Dodgers trade. Basically, they traded, what was the big trade today?
Well, they were part of a three-team deal, seven-player deal. The centerpiece of the deal is Todd Frazier going to the Chicago White Sox. Right. Gives them some depth that they desperately needed over at third base. He's going to be good there. Mm-hmm. I suddenly that White Sox lineup. You look at that lineup. They can play,
dude. At New Comiskey Park.
Yeah,
with the Abreu and maybe Adam LaRoche has a bounce back season.
Adam Eaton is one of the most underrated leadoff guys in baseball.
Hey, Gordon Beckham didn't have a bad year last year. He played a little bit better. So
they'll probably go Lowry. They got Brett Lowry too, who was okay, but he's an upgrade at second base. They got nothing out there. But the Dodgers part of it was, they traded some of their prospects over to the Reds. Jose Peraza, who was a big catch for them in the Alex Wood trade back in the trade deadline over in July. Mm-hmm. And the Dodgers receive actually a nice trio of prospects. They get Trace Thompson, the brother of Clay of the Golden State Warriors, of course. They get the White Sox third best pitching prospect, and they get another player in there as well. So a couple of nice little pieces. And I think the Dodgers' strategy is that they are just trying to stay competitive enough over the next few years. And they got enough money that they can, if they need to, they'll just get a free agent here or there if they want to. But their farm system, they've been really trying to build it up. Yeah. Suddenly, they're maybe the best farm system in baseball right now. And I think they have their sights set on the 2018-2019 free agent class when A1 Bryce Harper goes on the market, as does Clayton Kershaw. Right.
Yep.
So I think they're building up for that, building this young talent that by 2018 season will be here. And if worse came to worse, if they lose Kershaw, they have enough that they can still compete in the National League West.
And look, we know their budget is limitless. The Dodgers can spend with anybody in baseball. Andrew Freeman, though, the GM who just came over from Tampa Bay last season, I feel like he wants to build the Dodgers like he built Tampa, where he built the Rays into a powerhouse, where Evan Longoria and BJ Upton and David Price and all those guys, Evan Longoria, I think I said, they had a lot of guys come from the minor league system that carried them to a couple AL East championships and deep in the World Series row where they lost to the Phillies. It seems like he's trying to do that here with L.A., but they did miss out on Greinke, and I think the Dodgers aren't done. I think they're going to get some of these second-tier and third-tier pitchers, because after Clayton Kershaw in their rotation, right now, like, that fan base wants to win. Let's not – Magic Johnson, all that whole group, they want to win.
Yeah.
They've been coming up short in the playoffs, a lot of playoff disappointment, and if you imagine if the Dodgers finished third in the NL West, heads will be rolling.
Yep.
Rolling. I mean, they just fired Don Mattingly, and let's be honest, Mattingly wasn't the brightest guy in the room, but he got this team to the playoffs. And when you get into the playoffs, anything happens. You had your ace, Clayton Kershaw, what, in 2014, where he's a pitch away and getting out the seventh inning.
He blew it.
He blew it. So I think the Dodgers, they want to retool that farm system. They want to build through the farm. And look, they got the Seager kid, Corey Seager, who's going to come up. He's a stud. We saw him in September.
Yeah.
He's going to be electric. Jock Peterson, we know he struggled in the second half of the season. I don't expect that to happen. I think he shortens up that swing, has a better year. Maybe bats around 250, 260. But they got some pieces to trade. Andre Ethier, I think they're really dangling him. He's not a bad right fielder.
He'd be an excellent platoon option for a team that's ready to compete next year.
Right.
Absolutely.
Carl Crawford, he still got him on the books. I believe they're going to try to move him. Yasiel Puig, there's a lot of talk. Scott Miller from Bleacher Report wrote an article last week saying that there's Dodger teammates that said, man, he's the worst teammate ever. So I think the Dodgers are done. I think this next wave of free agency, we're going to see the Dodgers really try to make a splash and try to counter what the Giants have been doing.
And I think their big move is going to be the trade market.
Yeah.
And I think that this move today, where they get a trio of prospects that they probably thought were better than the three that they got rid of, I think it gives them the confidence to maybe trade a Urias,
yep,
to trade Puig.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jose Fernandez is the guy.
It
just makes too much sense with the depth in that farm system, with the ability to trade a guy like Puig, a Cuban superstar who would just flourish in Miami. That just makes too much sense to me.
You just made a lot of Giants fans sweat with that.
I know. And so with that being said, this is going to be a three-dog race. Yeah. We haven't even talked about the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have made really the two biggest splashes in the division this offseason. I mean, where does this stack up? Let's put it this way. If the Dodgers make one more move to get a pitcher, it could be Jose Fernandez. It's going to be a big guy.
Right.
I think they're going to get one more big guy. How do you see this stacking up in the NL West?
Oh, this is going to be – this race will go deep.
One of the best.
Oh, it's going to be one of the best. It's going to be a fight out here out west. And we saw the Diamondbacks last year. They were 11-8 against the Giants. They held their own. And look, Shelby Miller and Patrick Corbin, that is a bad 2-3 combination right there on, you know, following Zach Greinke. They got possibly the best hitter in the National League in Paul Goldschmidt, and A.J. Pollock had a very underrated season last year. Should have been an all-star.
There's a reason that the Diamondbacks didn't want to give him up for Shelby Miller.
Yeah, so this race is going to be fascinating. And like you said, we both agree that the Dodgers are going to be that team to make the next wave, make the next splash. This race is going to be fascinating, man. Yeah. It's going to be fascinating.
And don't forget, the Dodgers, they had a group of prospects they were going to trade to the Reds for Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
Those guys aren't getting traded.
Those guys aren't getting traded. They still got those in the back pocket.
Yeah.
So
they still need a bullpen option. Jonathan Papelbon's out there. I know he's a hothead. And would you want to, right after getting rid of Puig, do you want to bring in a guy like Papelbon to just add more drama to
that? Imagine
that
in L.A.?
Yeah.
Dave Roberts doesn't deserve that.
No, not at all. And you mentioned Magic Johnson. And, I mean, if you know basketball, Magic Johnson pretty much never lost.
Nah.
He's not used to losing. So anything short of at least a wild card spot, anything short of that is a failure for the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Really, anything short of a World Series win or an appearance at this point is failure for Magic Johnson and the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's why I think Freeman down there in L.A. is being very strategic in how he goes about this. Like, he's got the farm guys, but he also knows, like, look, I'm going to need them down the line, but how can I flip some of these farm guys and stay competitive. Look, Trace Thompson had a very good second half with the White Sox when he got called up. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the opening day lineup for the Dodgers. And that's after they make – look, I really think Ethier – We said Ethier was going to get traded for the last 5 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
He's still there, but, you know, he had a lot of beef with Mattingly last year. We saw him in a clubhouse act out. The Puig factor, what's going to happen with him? Has Major League Baseball and the pitching caught up with Puig? Because he looked awful at the plate last year. And maybe you could sell high now. Maybe his value's not as high, and the Dodgers just try to get some bullpen guys for him. Miami. Now I'm thinking about Miami. And Miami will love for Yasiel Puig to be down there.
It just makes too much sense. And if Puig can actually fulfill his potential, that lineup with him and Giancarlo Stanton, learning from Barry Bonds, by the way.
Wow.
That's dangerous.
Wow.
I mean, you don't have Jose Fernandez.
Right.
Obviously.
You don't.
But you're building something there. So we'll see. And again, who knows about Jose Fernandez? Right. He's 23 years old. Right. The Marlins have no incentive to trade him unless they're completely overwhelmed with Julio Urias, maybe Corey Seager even, and Puig and a couple other guys.
We know the Dodgers aren't going to trade Seager. They've waited too long on this kid.
I think he's untouchable.
He's untouchable.
Anybody who's not made the majors, though, I think they're fair game.
You think Jock is a fair game?
Oh, without a doubt he's fair game, especially with – he really just fell apart.
He stunk after the home run derby.
He adjusted so much during the season. I don't think I've ever seen a player adjust so much at the plate and just still was completely lost. And I know he's only, what, 20?
Right. Was it the home run derby jinx, maybe? Because we've seen some guys in a home run derby, you know, hit a lot of bombs in that competition and come back in the second half. It reminds me of Bobby Abreu.
Yeah.
You know, there's some guys out there who just really struggles after the home run derby. It messes their swing up, and it makes you think, like, man, do I really want my star player in a home run derby?
And Jock's predisposition at the plate is to always swing to the fence.
He swings hard,
So that just, you're right. I think it completely screwed him up.
Right. No, he swings with some intentions to hurt that baseball.
Gusto.
He wants 500-foot home runs regularly. So it'll be interesting. I think the Dodgers, I think we both agree here, the Dodgers are the next team to look out for in this next phase of free agency. And it'd be interesting because we know the Dodgers don't want to look up to the Giants. And we know for damn sure they don't want to look up to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Right now, they're the third best team in the National League West. That's not sitting well down there in L.A. They'll make some moves, and it'd be interesting to see if they do get a Jose Fernandez, man. That can flip the whole division.
I just think it just makes way too much sense to me.
Do you think they still go after Aroldis Chapman, or you think that's dead?
No, that's dead. I think the Reds are stuck with Aroldis Chapman. And, of course, with everything that's gone on, the domestic abuse allegations and all that, what team is going to want to touch that right now?
Especially with Puig. And that's what makes me wonder about trading Puig. Maybe they'll just try to trade Puig for a box of peanuts because he's got the whole domestic assault or the big brawl he had in Miami where he got in a fight with his sister and all hell broke loose down there. We're still waiting for details about that and video and all the evidence. So be interesting. The Dodgers are in a tight spot here, but I think that's the team that makes the next splash. By the way, the Giants left field, I'd be very, very intrigued to see what's going on there. And real quick before we get out of here, what do you think is taking so long with Alex Gordon? And because I know St. Louis they struck out a few times. They struck out on Jason Hayward. They struck out on David Price. I heard there was talks with Alex Gordon. What do you think he ends up? Where do you think Cespedes ends up? Where do you think Upton ends up?
Well, I keep hearing Alex Gordon connected to the Cardinals, but then I keep remembering, like, isn't Matt Holliday still there?
Yeah.
He's not near the end of his career, and he's had some injury problems, but
well, maybe to fill that void for Jason Hayward?
He could, but I don't think, has Gordon ever played right?
Yeah.
If he has, very briefly.
And we know Matt Holliday's not going to move to right.
And that just doesn't seem like a Cardinals move, and they already have so much depth in the outfield that it just doesn't make as much sense to me. If the Cardinals do make a big move, I think it's Chris Davis, who he's just sitting
still out there. I totally forgot about the guy.
He's just sitting there.
There's a $150 million deal waiting for the Baltimore Orioles.
And they put it out. They took it off the table.
Yeah, because Scott Boras is playing hardball.
Yep.
So Chris Davis, man, very intriguing.
That makes a lot of sense. That's 47
home runs right now on the open market.
Yeah, I think he makes a lot of sense for the Cardinals. But, you know, as for these outfielders, I can't explain it because I thought the Hayward deal was going to be the domino.
Right.
I thought that we were going to see all these guys start to go off in places. And I think it's just a matter of everyone's just kind of waiting out the market. I mean, you saw with Johnny Cueto, he waited the market out. He got his deal. So it's, I don't think it's as crazy as we think it is. Like, oh my God, these deals aren't coming. It's just that I think the starting pitching market went so fast. Right. I don't think we've ever seen a starting pitching market this big go just disappear within an instant. So these guys are going to get their deals. Right. But again, I think it's going to take, for the money they're asking, all these guys are asking for close to $20 million a year.
And they're going
to
get it.
They're going to have to love them. A team's going to just have to absolutely love them or just bite the bullet.
Yep.
And just take it. And I could see the Giants doing it. Yeah. I could.
On a lighter note, how much fun is it going to be to watch Johnny Cueto on a regular basis? These fans are going to eat it up. We saw the Instagram photos. The knee-high cowboy boots.
Man.
The hat.
Doing a lot of sexy poses for the ladies. I see that.
Yeah, like on the couch. He's got a picture on the couch with his belt unbuckled.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's man. Right. They're going to love him out here.
Oh, yeah, man. I feel like I went through his whole Instagram because I'm just laughing my ass off. This dude is going to fit in so well. And let's just put it this way. If the Giants win a World Series this year, it's going to be him and Madison Bumgarner going horseback on one of those police horses. And it's going to be awesome. He's going to fit right in. He's got that fun, goofy personality San Francisco fans just attached to so well.
Oh, they eat it up. Exactly. They eat it up. They're already eating up the memes and the photos. And
we haven't had a panda-type personality since Pablo left. We're getting it.
Oh, we're definitely getting it. And by the way, the Cueto move, Giants are now favored to win the World Series.
Hey. When's the last time you could ever say that?
It's kind of scary. This is uncharted territory.
I know people are saying, well, they were three-time champions, but they were never favored. No. What year did you ever favor them when they won? No. The fact that they're favorites?
Wow.
I know. Wow. That's pressure they've never had to deal with. But you know what? I think they'll handle it just fine. How do you think, last one, give me right now, how does this division stack up?
I'm going Giants 1. I'm going Diamondbacks 2. I'm going Dodgers 3.
I'm going to say Giants number 1. I'm going to say the Dodgers do make that move, and they go to number 2 and get a wild card.
Well, if they get the moves, they make the moves, and Dodgers may end up winning the West.
And I'm going to go out on a limb. I think that wild card game is going to be an NL West matchup.
Wow.
Dodgers, Diamondbacks to get into the postseason.
Wow. How about that?
That means somebody, maybe the Mets, maybe the Cardinals, maybe the Nationals, somebody's missing out on the playoffs that expects to be there next year.
Wow. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Can spring training get here?
Yeah, right.
Can we get the opening day?
It's taking too long, man. This offseason has been too good, and it's taking too long. But we'll be here all offseason long. We'll be giving you some in-depth episodes. We'll give you a little Christmas present under the tree next week as we wrap up 2015 in baseball. Until then, for Bonte Hill, I'm Cody Pasby. 9 innings, 9 topics every week, except this week, on the Double Play Podcast.
The Double Play Podcast with Bonte Hill and Cody Pasby.